Good morning.
That was great, wasn't it? Sounded like a sermon to me. That's what I heard. That's a question we ought to ask ourselves every day when we get up. Because we have good days and bad days, but do others see Jesus in us? Because that's the gospel. Anyway, this year, 2018, the church is 119 years old. Is that not phenomenal? The original members of Pauline Baptist Church were attending Philadelphia Baptist Church, but found it difficult to travel the distance in bad weather. The members originally met in homes and built the sanctuary in 1904 on the land deeded by the Reiser and Smith families. When Highway 94 was paved, the building had to be moved back approximately 100 feet. In the early 80s, membership was down to 8 members, but thanks to the dedication of those 8 members, Pauline survived. The church was enlarged in 1988 to include more Sunday school and fellowship hall space. Growth continued, and in 1996, an education building was added. It was filled to capacity the first Sunday we moved in. The Lord continued to bless Pauline Baptist Church, and now we have a 250-seat sanctuary.
You ready? All right. We have a special guest here today, Brother Earl and Miss Betty, and he's going to come forward and give his message, give the message God has for him. Well, I believe this is the third good morning. What a joy it is to see you and to have you in this service today. Thank you, Mrs. Green. It's the first time I've been able to say to Lori, Mrs. Green. But that sounds right, doesn't it, Adam? You know, one thing I noticed that Pete did not say, he did not say that, or he did not ask if there were any original members here today. Pete didn't ask that question. And you know there's folks that live to be over 119, right? I'm well on my way. I'm 88, so I know that folks can live on and on and on. But I want to thank you this morning for the joy of being able to preach this morning. Thank you, Brother Dallas and Mrs. Dallas and church for inviting us to be able to share with you this morning. You know, I don't know whether you've heard, but it's supposedly a true story, and I might have told you through the years, and like I said, a lot of things, if I did, I don't remember. But anyway, I might have told you through the years, but I read this sometimes back about preachers, an article entitled Preaching Suggestions. It said that all the public speakers could learn from this true story. There are certain tribes in Africa that demand that when a man rises to speak, he must stand on one foot while delivering his speech. The moment the lifted foot touches the ground, the speaker must end his speech or he is forcibly silenced. Now, I read that, and when I share that, I always share the fact that I've been rehearsing, standing on one foot, and I can assure you this morning with great certainty that I can stand over an hour on one foot. So if you want to go that way, we'll go that way. But if not, then we'll do otherwise. But I asked Brother Dallas, I said, how long I got to preach? He said, well, over. I said, do I have over an hour? And he said, yes. So when I say that, I always see the sadness on people's face. But I want to eat just like you want to eat. In fact, if we'd have voted on it, we'd eat first this morning. I probably would have to go home. Well, thank you for being present in the service today. You know, I'm always at a dilemma in what I ought to be sharing in such a time as this. There are so many things that crosses the stage of our minds that it sometimes is difficult, as we give prayerful consideration to what we ought to share. There are just so many things that cross our mind, and we say, Lord, give us just one thing that we'll be able to share with those people today. I thought about the incident up in the Carolinas today. They're having a terrible, tragic time from Florence, having water problems, and there's been deaths and devastation and so many things from that storm, like every storm. And I thought about the storm that they were going through. I thought about the storm that our own family, and I appreciate my family being here today, several members of it being here today, and my lovely bride of 65 years being with us today. But I appreciate that, but I thought about the storm that we ourselves are going through. At one point, I started to call Brother Frankie and tell him I didn't think that I was really up to this today. But you know, you keep on keeping on, right? Regardless of what occurs in life, you keep on keeping on because things happen that way. But not only that, but I thought, Pete, about the storms that this church has gone through in 119 years. I tell you, we're here today because someone passed through the storm. They went through the storm successfully. They didn't let it stop them, but they went on. And that's what we have to do today. Storms of unprecedented amount, they just come and they don't let us know when they're coming. I thought of the bride who was just going to get married, and she was talking with the prospective groom, and she said to the groom, she said, you know, we need to be praying about our troubles. And the prospective groom says, what troubles? Says, I don't have any troubles. She said, you will when you marry me. So we all have our troubles, don't we? And we all face our troubles. I can never forget the tsunami, the devastation that came in 2004 when the tsunami went to those Asian countries and just wiped away lives and palaces and shanties and mansions, and there was no discretion whatsoever in what it took. But that was a great time of devastation. The earthquake at that time was a 9.0, one of the most powerful ones that ever been to that country, but it certainly was difficult, and the devastation cannot be fathomed of what took place at that time. I'm reminded of what James says, and I'm going to get to my preaching in just a minute. My preaching's 30 minutes after I get to it. But anyway, I'll get to the preaching. I'm reminded what James says about unfavorable times. James says, and he wrote, my brothers, this is chapter 1, verse 2, my brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. I must confess to you this morning that I have a problem of having that, but I do understand that when tragedy comes, regardless of what kind that it might be, that we do have joy in the Lord, right? We know that the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He's with us. Troubles are inevitable, inescapable, unavoidable. They visit every place. As I said, shanties and shacks and mansions and palaces don't make any difference, that it visits all of us. With your Bibles, turn with us to chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to share with you verses 35 through 41. And I want to talk with you this morning about when the storms come. When the storms come, what happens? What can we do? Can we learn about a storm? But in chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Jesus and his disciples experienced a storm together. And from this episode, we learn some lessons, I think, that we too, when we face the storms of life, that we need to know. If you are able to stand with us, stand with us, please, as we read God's Word. Mark 4, beginning with verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May we pray. Father, we're deeply grateful for your marvelous grace that's always applicable and adequate and appropriate for every need that we have in life. We're grateful today for the opportunity to be able to share this precious word to these precious people. We pray that you'll bless it to our needs today. There may be someone in our congregation, our Father, this morning that's passing through the storm. And we just pray that something may be said or done that would enable them to be able to stand tall in the face of all that they face. Pray this morning you'll bless this church, bless its pastor and his companion, and these people. Pray, Father, that we'll always glorify and lift your name, and that you may be glorified and lifted this morning as we try to share this message with our friends. Forgive our sins. Bless all in whom I interest to remember, those on the sick list, those having troubles in various sorts. Pray that you be with them today in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We find that Jesus and his disciples are experiencing a storm together. And of course, it's from this episode, as I said, that we learn how that we too can encounter such storms as we do and yet be successful in passing through them. Our passage took place, if you'll read some of the passages prior to this scripture, you will find that it was a very busy day for Jesus. He was weary, he was tired, and after a full day of ministry to others, we find that, of course, he expressed to his disciples the desire to go to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, we find some things that occurred at this particular time. Jesus was healing the sick, and of course, he had a confrontation with the Pharisees. You know, those things are taxing to an individual. Some people wonder, you know, the things that tax a pastor's time and energy and all of these things. We never realize how much that our pastor puts into the things that he does, ministry and the preaching of the word. And I don't know about Dallas, but it takes me about 8 or 9 or 10 hours to get a message. And even now, I find that it takes me a very lengthy time to get it. But we find that Jesus' energy was taxed, and having a confrontation with the Pharisees. And also we find that he even had to confront or encounter opposition from his own friends. Now, you'd think that that would come from an enemy, and your expectation would be that that your adversaries would give you a problem. But also we find that Jesus' friends also gave him a problem. They could not understand why that he was ministering. They could not understand why he refused to eat when he was doing ministry. They could not understand his action and what he was doing. And in Mark 3, verse 22, this is what his friend said to him. He is beside himself. Jesus, you know what they were saying? Jesus is wacky. Jesus is foolish in doing what he's doing. They just did not understand what he was engaged in and what he was doing for the Father, and they thought he was a lunatic, that he was crazy. This is his friends. My friends, this morning we can take a lot from our adversary, but it is quite hurting to try to take something like that from a friend. And so we find that Jesus, of course, this is a reason why that he was passing through, wanted to pass to the other side. Jesus was as much God as God is, but he was also as much human as a human can be. And so Jesus grew tired and weary and hungry because of that. But anyway, I assure you today, if you love and serve the Lord and you follow his calling upon your life, that someplace along life's way, you'll not be appreciated, right? Amen. You'll not be appreciated for what you do for the Lord. Some may even label you as a lunatic. I'm sure that in over 60 years of ministry that people thought I was a lunatic. Now, I'm glad Betty didn't take up on that. And it's a wonder she didn't take up for me. But anyway, she did. But anyway, you can experience or expect that. If you serve God, you can expect that in serving the Lord. When Jesus went to preach, he had surging crowds that followed him. The crowds would gather, and some were suspicious, but Jesus gave himself sacrificially to the crowds and ministering to them, and yet they considered him to be wacky. Jesus grew tired, wanted to cross over, and en route, we find, of course, they encountered the storm. The Sea of Galilee is notorious for storms. Of course, it's sort of like a funnel. You know, it's 900 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains, and it's sort of like a funnel. And when those cold airs come rushing down there into that sea, they caused ferocious storms. And of course, this is what happened here. It created a storm for Jesus and his disciples. So what are the lessons this morning that we can learn? I have three. You know, I always preach with 3 points. 2 points is less than what should be preached, Paul. I preach 3. But anyway, I think it's important to learn that the unexpected and the unpredictable often takes place in our lives, in the lives of all people, both sinner and saint. It takes place in our lives. Doesn't make any difference who you are. You know, I thought some people, when they're saints, and of course the Bible calls us all saints, but anyway, we find that when as a saint, there are a lot of saints that believe that they ought to be excluded from suffering. There's a lot of folks who believe that when they become Christians, that they will be excluded from some of the things of life that they've encountered. But you know what? When you become a Christian, you may have more troubles than you even had before, but you have someone who you can take them to. So they had, it's predictable. Our peaceful lives can often be interrupted by an overwhelming incident. I hate to remind my family and myself that on August 11th, the father decided he wanted our 47-year-old granddaughter, and so he took her. We have no explanation. It's unbelievable. We wake up in the morning, and it's not real. But I'll assure you today that our Father never makes a mistake. In everything that He does, there's a purpose in it. And sometimes we may know that purpose, and sometimes we don't know that purpose and may never know that purpose until we get to glory. But I always say that God's grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. The unexpected and the unpredictable often takes place in all of our lives. Go back to the Asian tsunami we mentioned earlier. It said that there was a wall of water that came upon the beaches of seven Asian cities without warning on a morning of crystal clear blue skies, and swept away all of these things. Clear blue skies, unexpected. Didn't know it was coming. One person described it by saying it all seemed to happen in the space of minutes. So unexpected. But the first action to a bad experience sometimes, of course, is to want to avoid it. If you know what it is, right? We try to avoid the places that we have bad experiences or the people that we have bad experiences. But not only that, we find that we try to avoid the place or position that those bad experiences take place. I was reading someplace, some never plan a trip to Asia because of the tsunami. Some never get on an airplane because of the fear of its falling. You know, I was on B-50 bomber. I was in the Air Force. I know we have a great Marine among us. But I was in the Air Force and was on a B-50 bomber. But you know, we never flew but what we generally feathered, at least one engine. Now, that's not a good record, is it? But anyway, we find that some won't fly because of that. Some will not go to the Holy Land and cross the Sea of Galilee because of fear that another storm will take place on the Sea of Galilee. We try to avoid those things. But let me say this. If you want to increase your chance for a long life, then you need to know several facts. Number one, do not ride in an automobile because they cause 20% of all the accidents and fatal accidents. 20%. Don't stay at home because 17% of all accidents happen at home. Don't walk the streets because 14% of all the accidents happen to pedestrians walking on the streets. Don't travel by air or rail or water because 6% of all accidents happen there. Now here it is, and I'm going to give this a great advertisement. Only 1/10,000 of 1% of all deaths, now listen to that, occurs at church. You know what I'm getting to, don't you? It occurs at church. So it is obvious the church is the safe place to be. Now, dear friend, you've chosen the safe place today to be at church. Aren't you glad that you're here? Yes, I'm glad that you're here too. Which church? Some say, of course, the Baptist church. Now, you know, I got a little Pentecostal in me, and it comes out sometimes. But I used to preach like a Pentecostal, I think, but I slowed down a little bit because my breath is not what it ought to be. But anyway, I was reading about some folks that said, if Jesus came back to earth, which church would he go to? Which church do you think he'd go to? Episcopalian pastor said, I think he'd go to the Episcopalian church because of the line of apostolic authority there. And then, of course, we find that the Pentecostal preacher said, I think he'd go to our church because of the excitement and the enthusiasm that we have in our church. And they do. And they do. You know, I don't have anything against Pentecostals at all. I love my family. A lot of my family is a Pentecostal. But I want to tell you this. Somebody says, are they going to heaven? I say, yes, if they don't run past the gate. Excitement. We need some of that excitement, don't we? That they have. But listen, the Baptist preacher said, of course Jesus would go to the Baptist church. Why should he change after all these years? Well, in any church that preaches Christ Jesus is a good church. Some of that paraphernalia, other paraphernalia that's on with it, of course, is a reason why some of us don't. I didn't say anything about Free Will Baptist System. So when the unexpected and unpredictable happens, and it does, it's well to be aboard with Jesus. It's good. It's well to be on boat with Jesus, right? How do you get on boat with Jesus? To recognize that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. I witnessed to a man the other day who had anger in his heart about Jesus. I told him one day that that anger would cease and he would come to know that Jesus is not against us, but he's for us. You know, he says, if I'm for you, what can be against you? He's for us. I don't have any anger or evil thoughts about Jesus. I love him. But we are so saddened sometimes in our hearts about things that take place in life that we have no control over. I got to hurry, Dallas. Want another one or two things. Would you just let me share? You see, if we also must learn that when storms come, there's often unjustified, unrealistic criticism. I mentioned the young fellow. You remember the friends, the disciples came to him, and they were fearful. They were human. But they came to him and they woke him up. He was asleep. And said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't ever accuse Jesus of not caring. They had just seen him feed the multitude. They had just seen him heal the sick. They had just seen him do miraculous and marvelous things. And now they ask, does Jesus care? I tell you this morning that he does care. Don't ever accuse him of not caring. For he cares for us. I want to be of Job's persuasion, don't you? Listen to what Job said. Lost everything. Lost family, friends, finances, everything but his Christian faith. And you know what Job said? When he thought about what God took from him, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust Him. I'm going to trust God. I've decided that I'm going to trust God, says Job. I'm of that persuasion. If this story teaches anything, it teaches that we ought to turn to Jesus in life's troubles and know that He cares for us. I want to close with one more thought. I think lastly, and this is about one-fourth of my manuscript today. But anyway, I want to share this last one. When the storms come, we must learn that though we can't change things, we can't change what's happened, that it's possible for an unrealized blessing to emerge from what's happened. A blessing. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless me in spite of the troubles that we have. You know, sometimes we cringe when lightning strikes, don't we? Boy, some people even get under the table when lightning comes. They can't take it. I know when lightning comes to the house and I'm on the lawnmower, I can see Betty. I'm about on 3 acres, I can see Betty. I can hear thunder, and here's Betty on the porch. I get to the porch, she preaches the same sermon that she preaches all along. Earl, don't you know that where there's thunder, that lightning can strike you? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I know that. And of course, I'm obedient. I get off the tractor and stop mowing. But did you know that, Frankie will tell you this, did you know that lightning puts millions of tons of nitrogen in the soil? It doesn't get any other way, right? We're dependent upon it. So what is devastating and kills, there is a blessing emerging out of that. And then I'm going to tell you this. This happened. This is one of the treasures of darkness. You know, dark times have treasures. And we need to seek those treasures that we find in dark times. But anyway, a young lady, when I was in college, a young lady on Sunday evening after the church service was walking across the street, and a car struck her and killed her. This young lady had dedicated her life to be a Southern Baptist missionary after getting her degree. But the car struck her. Question, why? Why did that? Well, did you know there was another young lady that was holding her hand? And that young lady had never trusted Christ for salvation. But through the death of her friend, she came to know Christ as Savior and as Lord. A blessing emerged out of that darkness. I want to tell you today, I don't know, I can assure you this one thing, that whenever you see people, doesn't make any difference where you see them, in church or wherever, there are those who are experiencing great trouble. They're having problems. You may not see it on their faces, but they are passing through stormy times. And that's the reason we need to be sympathetic and empathetic with people. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what your neighbor sitting next to you going through this morning. I know that. I also know that if you're not facing them, one day you will. I do know that. And it comes unexpectedly. But now I know also another thing is the fact that you can make it through. you can make it, we can make it through. Did you know that we are victors and not victims in life? We've already won the war. We just have to claim it. I'm looking for the day when Christ will come. And he will straighten out all the messes that are made in the world. I'll be glad when he comes. And I don't know about you, but I'm expecting it many times. But until then, let me challenge you with this. When you face a troubled time, let's do what the disciples did. Go to Jesus. He knows our need. You may need him this morning. Maybe you've never made a profession of faith in Christ. We're going to have an invitation to him in just a minute. And we, Brother Dallas, and myself, and the deacons, anybody, will help you come to know Christ. Isn't it wonderful that in the blink of an eye, somebody can know Christ as Savior? Amen? So wonderful. But go to him, pray, pray. Pray. Amen. You have a need and I can help you. I'm going to be standing up here with Brother Dallas. He'll let me stand with him. And we'll be standing here, and if we can help you in any way, do that. If you need to come to the altar and let the Lord know something that's in your heart and on your heart, you come this morning as we sing. Brother Dallas.